our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and even the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
So my dear brothers and sisters, it is with tremendous joy that we are gathered here on a beautiful Sunday morning to celebrate the gift of the kingdom of God. And that is what we will hear about today. That Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, that your Father is pleased to give you that kingdom. And that kingdom is won in the blood of Christ, in his victory over sin and death, and that he has truly risen. And every Mass, of course, we celebrate that gift. Now, for those who do not know me, my name is Father Sam West, and I'm a priest of the Diocese of Stockton, California, pastor of a small church called St. Patrick's in Sonora, California, and I'm also the son of Hilda, one of your parishioners here. And so I am pleased to be here. I thank Father Merrick for allowing me to celebrate this Mass and to be with you in this great gift that we have to share in the life of Christ, right? To be fed by him, by his word, and by his body and blood. So let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes back and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his home be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Then Peter said, Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? Again the Lord replied, who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master will put in charge of his servants and distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master finds on arrival doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations, nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who is ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
So the recent mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and in Dayton, Ohio, have once again brought up fear in the hearts of many people in our nation. Now, as followers of Christ, we are certainly very concerned about the loss of precious human life and are deeply saddened. And our hearts go out to the victims and their families. We are compassionate for the awful pain by those who have lost loved ones, the awful pain that they're experiencing. Now, when these types of horrible events happen, we are heartbroken, but as our Lord Jesus tells us today in the gospel, we are not afraid because we are his little flock. It's such a tender and beautiful image. We are his little flock. And this means that we have a choice. We have a choice not to be mastered by fear, not to burn with revenge or retaliation, and not to be crushed by hopelessness. Now, when these senseless acts of violence happen, I think the first question, or among one of the first questions, is why? Why can something like this happen? So we try to figure it out. We try to figure out the motive. Now, certainly, knowing the reason why is helpful, and maybe, just maybe, it can stop a future tragedy. But after sifting through all the social media posts and the analysis by the mental health experts and the policy debates of what to do and how to react. With all of that, get to the bottom line. The bottom line is that it is sin. The bottom line of any deliberate act of evil is sin. And in this evil, or this evil, this sin is born out of a world that is steeped in sin, is awash with hate, is the hatred of the human person, and the dignity against the human, or against the dignity of the human person, and hatred against the things of God. These senseless tragedies are caused, I think, by a rebellion against God, the rejection of objective truth, the rejection of good, the good. And these tragedies come out of a world that condones and supports the destruction of human life, especially the killing of the most innocent human life, the unborn children in the womb. And these horrors that we experience today are a result of what St. Pope John Paul II rightly termed the culture of death. Now, if a person is strictly of this world, and all they are concerned about is the things of this world, then it is understandable to be afraid. It's understandable to be very afraid. Because on our own and by our own human power alone, there is no hope to overcome evil, no hope to overcome sin and death. But my friends, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not born only in this world. We have truly been reborn. We have truly been reborn, and this means we are then not of the world, but only in the world. We are not of the world, but only in the world. And in that second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we hear about the fathers of our faith, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. and that they acknowledge themselves, as it says, to be strangers and aliens on earth. They were seeking a homeland, a better homeland. And so, because we have that gift of faith, we too are seeking and looking to a better homeland, looking to heaven. Now, in this alien world, that's what we can call it, with all the sin and death, this alien world, there is always going to be threats against the human person. There's always going to be those who can harm the body. But our Lord assures us today, and that is why I think we really need to take to heart the words of our Lord Jesus in the Gospel, not to be afraid any longer. Again, we are his little flock. And he tells us not to be afraid because the Father is pleased to give you a kingdom. And that is his kingdom, the kingdom of true peace, true joy, true happiness, the kingdom of infinite love and joy. Now, our Lord reminds us, though, that we must be in actively building up our treasure in this true homeland, our true homeland of heaven. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. And so if our lives are firmly grounded in and centered in Jesus Christ, and that is through the gift of our faith, then our hearts and minds are set on the things above, on the things of heaven. They are set above the violence, above the hate, the resentment, the anger, and above the fear of all the scary things that we have out in the world. It is by this gift that by no merits of our own that we have been given. It is by this gift of faith, having this life in Christ, that we have that access, that door into the kingdom of God. And that in a real way, not just in the future, not just looking at it from afar, as we heard in that second reading that Abraham did, right? Looking at that city that God built from afar, that's not where we're at. We are in, by that faith, that we have walked through that door, and we are already in that kingdom. We are already in that city. Even though we still live in this kingdom and the kingdom of the world. Now, faith, and I think this is something to meditate upon maybe this week, to really think about, what is this gift of faith? Maybe that's what we're asked to unpack in some way. So we see faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. So it is the realization. It means it is here. It is happening. It's not just something we're looking towards in the future. So that we live in this realization, this reality of being of God's kingdom and not of the world. We don't live in this, we're not of the world. We're of God's kingdom. And this is done by striving in all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our deeds, that we are striving to do the Master's will. We're striving to do the Master's will. Being that faithful and prudent servant. And with the gift of faith, we have been entrusted with much. We've been entrusted with everything, the full riches of heaven. And so there is much that is expected of each of us. That we have already been given the victory of Christ's life and death and resurrection over sin and death. Now, as citizens of this kingdom, God's kingdom, we certainly have a responsibility for the gift of others. And that, I think, is so important that we must continue to offer sacrifices and prayers for the conversion of the world, that they may come to know Christ. That is our responsibility. We've been entrusted with that. And we hear this concern for others when Jesus speaks of distribute the food allowance at the proper time. right? That we've been entrusted with this thing, have been given Christ to use that food, but that food must then be given to those around us, those in our families, those in our places of work, in school, in community, those who God has put in our path, that we are feeding them. But we only can feed them if we ourselves have been fed. And so we receive Jesus, and then we go and give Jesus. That's how we feed others. And so, my brothers and sisters, we should do all that we can to prevent the horrible tragedies, and the mass shootings, and this violence in the world, and all the exploitation of human persons, and death and destruction. We see that we must do everything we can to overcome the hatred, the racism, and always to be a witness to life. We are witnesses to life. And to defend the gift of each and every human person, no matter what race, no matter what language, what country of origin, what class, no matter how small, no matter how old or sick, or what disability they may have. So we are not afraid, though. We are not afraid, but we are courageous in this fight against evil, because we know how to overcome that evil. And this is not a power of this world. That the remedy to evil, to overcome evil, is already in this world. It is in the church. It's in the church. It's in here. It's right here. It's in your hearts. Is in the sacraments of the church. Is in the teachings of the church. Is in the sacred scripture. Is in the lives of the saints. And it is ultimately in the practice, an active practice of our faith. And that is how we are good and faithful stewards. So for us to not live in fear, and for us to even now with this triumph of Christ's victory over sin and death, we need Christ. And that is what we do in every Mass. We come before Him, we submit, we humbly beg Him to give us that food we need, and He feeds us with Himself. So we have that food then, that we can then feed the needs of others. And so through the Immaculate Heart of the Virgin Mary, her Blessed Mother, may our Lord and His kingdom, reign in the hearts of all.